What a week. What a week this has been for you, New England Patriots. It's Christian Arcan here, WEEI Football Sunday. We got one more hour to go here before it is time for, I think, going to be another rough one here for your New England Patriots as they are at home again taking on Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. I didn't go through the Jets inactives yet, but I did tell you what the Patriots were. And it's not a great picture here, especially on the defense, as Josh Uche out, Kyle Duggar is out. And for the Jets, your inactives are Alan Lazard, Carter Warren, Israel Abanaconda, Lakai Fotu, Elijah Vera Tucker, Ashton Davis, and Tony Adams. So outside of Lazard, not anybody that you really worry about too much. They're going to be mostly at full strength. And that means that they're going to have full arsenal of weapons there for Aaron Rodgers. A get-right game for this New York Jets team that desperately needs one. A team that has fallen off hard from last year when Rodgers didn't play. And they were looking at Zach Wilson being your starting quarterback. And listen, you remember that Jets-Chiefs game last year? Zach Wilson against Patrick Mahomes? And the Jets almost won that game.
That was an electric game, but the refs bailed out the Chiefs.
They did. I remember that, and they've been doing it ever since. But I remember watching that game and going, man, you know, if only Rodgers was playing, if only this team would go into the Super Bowl, this team could be a legitimate Super Bowl contender. That's what I said about those Jets. That's what I said about them. And I'm filibustering about the Jets right now to avoid this past week from the Patriots. But also think about this. We talk about how the Patriots have whiffed on so many draft picks, and they have. Belichick did. It looks like Wolf may have too, outside of Drake May, who I think is a pretty solid pick right now, but the rest of this draft not looking like much. The Jets 2 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, had the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. And they weren't at some whatever position either. It's not like you had a guard, you know, and a linebacker as your rookies of the year. You had a wide receiver and a corner. And they were both playing at Pro Bowl, all pro levels, basically. Wilson and Gardner both were. Gardner was in consideration for Defensive Player of the Year. It seemed like the Jets were set up for big success going forward. You talk about building blocks, how the Patriots don't have any building blocks. There's no foundation for them to build this new team on. Yeah, I kind of agree with you. The Jets, you couldn't ask for better building blocks right there than Wilson and Gardner. And they did build a team around them that I think should have been better than this. Offensive line, neglected a little bit. I'll give you that. They have a good running game. Okay, Breece Hall and the other kid there, I mean, it's a formidable rushing attack. They don't have any run stuffers, and that's a problem. But you figure they can make up for it with some of their linebacker play, and not to mention this good secondary that they have, led by Gardner, led by their defensive rookie of the year. And despite that, despite having these two guys on their rookie contracts and being able to build around them, getting elite play at wide receiver and at defensive back, here they are in a season where the Dolphins are a mess and don't have their quarterback out there. He is back this week, by the way, and I do have some thoughts on that, which I'll get to later on this hour. The Tua Tagovailoa experience back on in Miami. We'll get to that in a minute. But that team, out of contention. The Buffalo Bills, great start for them. They lost a couple of games in a row. They're trying to right the ship. They made a trade. And here's the Jets, the two-win Jets, unable to benefit from that at all. It should be a two-team race right now. It should be the Jets and the Bills and nobody else. And instead, it's a one-horse race. Buffalo's way out ahead of everybody. The Jets stink. The Dolphins are rudderless, and the Patriots are possibly gunning for the first overall pick once again. Strange days. Strange days here in the NFL. 617-779-7937 is your phone number. Let's go to the phones. Talk to our good friend John in Plymouth. Go ahead, John.
Hey, how we doing? I understand it. I feel like everybody's kind of bashing Mayo for calling the team soft, but he's done it. It's not Bill Belichick saying it. It's not some old guy saying it. He's played the game. He played the middle, and he was a tough guy himself.
Mm-hmm.
Can't he get away with saying it since he's done it?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's not about the – and I understand what you're saying, John. Thanks for the call. I don't necessarily think it's the fact that you're played before, you didn't play before, and that you're allowed to call someone soft based on whether or not you're a former player. Gerard Mayo is a very good player. He was a very, very good player. He's all pro level for a year. And the fixture on that defense, it was during a time where they didn't win anything, which is kind of interesting, where he ended up getting most of his snaps and really sort of shining the most was during that 10-year stretch where the Patriots just couldn't win a Super Bowl during those 20 years. And it's interesting that it sort of worked out like that. But either way, it's not so much that he shouldn't call him soft or that it's okay for him to call him soft because he played. It's not okay to call him soft because you're the coach. And if you're the coach, you've fostered a soft environment. So that's more what it's about. I think that's more what the complaint has been. But I also think that people are going way overboard with this too. Oh, how can you call him soft? That's not how you coach. How could you do that? You know, these guys aren't soft. They're tough players. They go out there and they play. Okay. Does anyone really think this is a tough team? Mentally tough team? Physically tough team? And also, Bill Belichick, not for nothing, going out there to say, you can't call him soft. You were an assistant to Bill Parcells for a lot of years, were you not? Bill Parcells, who, to quote the great Eminem, used to call men ladies, okay? Ask Terry Glenn if he'd rather be called soft or she. All right? So it's not like, and Parcells never even played in the NFL. So, you know, it kind of flies in the face of all of that, doesn't it? If you're a good coach, if you have a track record, if you have a resume, if you have rings you can point to and drop on the table and say, hey, listen to me, do it my way, and you can win one of these, then, yeah, you can get away with calling the team soft. You can get away with basically anything. You can get away with doing all sorts of stuff. And that's really all it's about. You don't have that kind of cachet. And I know Mayo played, but he doesn't have that kind of cachet as a coach. Nothing close to it. So for him to go out there and call guys soft in his first year, I can see how that's maybe not something that you want to do. And Bill Parcells obviously had a ton of the cachet and resume or whatever when he said that thing about Terry Glenn, which, by the way, he probably shouldn't have said. Okay? It's an NFL locker room. It's not the same as, you know, the radio airwaves or whatever else. But still, I mean, that's, you know, even back then, even 1998 or whenever it was still a little bit, you know, on the edge. It wasn't 98, 95. I forget where it was. Whatever. Who cares? But the point is, calling out your team is not something that is unusual. It's not something that coaches should really try and stay away from. Just because Bill Belichick always put everything on himself and didn't publicly ever single anybody out doesn't mean that's the only way to do it. You got to win. You got to win. You got to win, and you got to establish your credibility. And right now, Gerard Mayo is not winning, and he has no credibility. 617-779-7937. Eric is in Greenwich. Go ahead, Eric.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Eric?
I got a fantasy question for you. All right. So, Jalen Daniels got hurt last week. Mm-hmm. I have him on my fantasy team. Great, great fantasy player.
Yes.
So, I can either start Jared Goff or Drake May.
Instead of Jalen Daniels, what you're saying?
Yeah, I just don't, like, I don't want to put Jalen Daniels in and he gets hurt in the first quarter.
Yeah, right. And I think Daniels, I think he's playing. Let me double check on that. Let me make sure, because the inactive did come out.
That's what I mean.
He is playing.
He is playing? Okay, so if he's playing and he's not at 100%, you have Jared Goff on your team with Goff going up against the Titans, I'd go Goff here.
Yeah,
that's what I'd do, Eric, if you're asking me. I'd go Jared Goff.
And then I got one more question for you guys. Sorry to keep you up.
Okay.
So I had Brandon Ayuk. He got hurt.
Sure did.
And Josh Downs. There's a receiver on the Cleveland Browns, and that who kind of has been getting targets. And then I have Devonta Smith. Other than that, I have Nick Chubb, Derrick Henry. And Devin Exchange.
Okay, that's great, Eric. What's the question?
My running backs are great. But I need wide receiver help.
Okay. And you're talking about Cedric Tillman? Is that the guy in Cleveland you're talking about?
Yep. Yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Throw him in there. All right. It's enough about his fantasy team. I got great running backs. Like, yeah, okay. Thanks. Thanks for telling us.
Should have told us the team name, too, at that point.
Good luck this week, too, by the way. Yeah. You in any fantasy leagues?
I am. I'm 4-3 and 3-4. So
okay. Well, there you go. I was in a lot of fantasy leagues with my friends from high school and my friends from college, and they all sort of dissipated. And what really killed it, what really drove the stake through it, not legalized gambling. I mean, that definitely helped. But in the years leading up to it, the daily fantasies, like the FanDuel and the DraftKings daily fantasies, I got so into those that I just completely ignored any like season-long leagues that I had, just teams. I didn't care about them anymore. I just got obsessed with the daily fantasies. And now that gambling's legal, it's just that's it's all about that now. But like that really that tore apart a lot of these leagues. The daily fantasies, you know, the seeing what the price was on certain guys and putting the rosters together and all of that. And you could do it for nothing. You know, you just bet a quarter, and if you get hot on a couple of guys, you make $100. Like I was into that. I was definitely into that. And now I don't know. People ask me fantasy questions. I don't know what to tell them anymore. It's right over my head these days. But there you go. All right, let's go to Bob in Londonderry before the break. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, hi. Good morning. Enjoy the show.
Thank you, Bob.
I was just wondering, you know, I'm kind of a, you know, I'm always negative, but I'm kind of a realist. And in lieu of even if today, depending how things go, pretend they really continue to go bad, what are they going to do to the severity of the situation of the Patriots, meaning the owner? A lot to be desired on decisions that have been made. You got a coach that obviously it's becoming more obvious. He just simply doesn't have a clue what's going on. It's really not his fault, but he just doesn't. The help that they've given him, meaning the rest of the staff, same scenario at best. Talent on the team, even if you try to be whatever that somewhat positive.
All right, Bob, your phone's breaking up, so I'm going to let you go. I think I get the gist of what you're talking about here. The severity of problems for the Patriots is one that I think is coming to a boil here, right? I mean, that's what it seems like. It seems like this past week was a bit of a turning point, a bit of a pivot point on the season. You have a 6-game losing streak going on. The homestand's about to be over. I know that they played the last game in London, but in terms of, you know, consecutive games where you're not the away team, like, this is it. And I think that, you know, another loss here to the Jets. The Jets, who even when you weren't very good, you'd always beat up on. It's just going to be another sort of step in that direction. In that direction of where what are we doing here? Where are we going? Is this going in the right direction? Is this going the way we want it to? I will once again read this quote from Robert Kraft. And this quote came before they lost to the Jaguars, okay? So this quote came out before all the stuff happened this week and everything else. But just listen to this. For Mike Reese's piece today. Despite a 6-game losing streak, Robert Kraft struck a patient tone last week in London as it relates to Mayo and some of his and his team's growing pains. Quote, "Everything doesn't happen as fast as I would like," Kraft said at a fan event the night before the team's 32-16 loss to the Jaguars. "Little things make a difference. We had to change everything from 2023. We had to change everything from 2023. Put a pin in that. I think they're making good progress. And I love the chemistry in the locker room. Where's freezing cold takes when you need them? I love the chemistry in the locker room. That locker room, I think this is the worst week this Patriots locker room's had in quite some time. I mean, really, it's been a while since you've seen a locker room that was this dysfunctional. And I'm including the last couple of years. Because the last two Mac years, the Patricia year, Patricia and Judge year, even last year with O'Brien, you had Mac Jones, you had Jacoby Myers, you had Kendrick Bourne, you had all these guys coming out and openly questioning everything, questioning the coaching, questioning the play calling, hey, questioning all of that stuff. It was bad. There was a split. There was a lot of divides in that locker room at the time. And I would take that over this 10 times out of 10. I really would. At the very least, back then, it seemed like there were some guys playing for each other. These guys, I don't know what they're playing for. I don't think that there's really much of a sense of team in this locker room at all. And it starts with the wide receivers, but I think you can track it all the way down. Lack of leadership, lack of unity, lack of guys pulling in the same direction, people just concerned about their own numbers, their own stats, and getting that narrative out there for themselves. It's been a brutal week in the Patriots locker room. And to hear Kraft saying, "I love the chemistry in that locker room," I wonder if he loves it today. I wonder if he loves it after this past week. because I can't imagine he does. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got open phone lines here for you. If you'd like to chime in on the Patriots, their rough week, this matchup with the Jets coming up here. Andy Hart's going to join me in about 10 minutes as we discuss all of those things. But first, here's Jacob Lastner to tell you what's trending. That was one of Aaron Rodgers' 27 completions the last time the Patriots played the Jets. A 24-3 Jets victory. Rodgers' final line, 27-35, 281 yards and two touchdowns. You'll be surprised to learn, listener, that there's not really gotten close to that since. He had a game before that against Tennessee. It was pretty good. 18-30, 176 yards with two touchdowns and no interceptions. And after that, a 10-9 loss to the Denver Broncos, 225 yards, no touchdowns. A loss to the Vikings, better yardage, 244 with two touchdowns and three picks. Lost to Buffalo, 294 yards with two touchdowns and an interception. And last week against Pittsburgh, 24 of 39, 276 yards with a touchdown and two picks. He has thrown six interceptions in his last three games. And the Jets in general are looking for any kind of hope here, something to pull them up out of this losing skid. Same thing with the Patriots. These are two desperate teams. And desperate times call for desperate measures. And I don't know exactly what the Patriots' desperate measure is going to be, but I'm interested in seeing what we find out today. I'm watching warm-ups right now on the Patriots' Twitter account. Javon Baker is out on the field. He is in uniform and out on the field for the first time in a while. And that is encouraging if you think he's going to go out there and make a play. Tyquan Thornton also out there. Kayshon Booty, by the way, I think is getting some looks at kick returner. So far, the only two people to return kicks on this team are Jermichael Hasty and Antonio Gibson. They might be trying to switch that up a little bit. I guess we'll see when this all goes down in about a half an hour. We're a few minutes away from Andy Hart joining the program. We'll get his take on this matchup, this week that was for New England and everything else. There's a leadership void with the Jets, too. In a lot of ways, you can say the Jets are a cautionary tale for the Patriots. In some ways, not every way. They're not going out there and signing a 40-year-old quarterback and expecting him to be the savior for the team. They're doing that with a rookie, which is generally how teams do it, a 22-year-old, who so far has looked pretty good. Drake May so far has looked pretty good in his first two games. I have not had many complaints at all with him. He should have had maybe a couple of interceptions last week, but he didn't, and, you know, should have, would have, could have. Who cares? His accuracy in the short game is something I think could improve a little bit. He hasn't been perfect. But at the very least, he adds a dimension to the passing game that this team does not have with Jacoby Brissett. He, I think, elevates guys like Kayshon Booty, who, whatever you think of the rest of this wide receiver room, I think you have a bunch of guys here who are all equal, if not comparable, in talent. And this is how you bring that talent out with your best passer. And it took them a while to figure that out, but now that they've done it, the plan is out the window, and it's Drake May's huddle for the rest of the season. And I think that's really your only chance of hanging in this game. And for more on that, joining us right now, Six Rings post-game show, Six Rings podcast, along with WEEI Afternoons, a very, very busy fella, as you can tell when he isn't there for the last hour of the show on Fridays. Andy Hart joins the program. How are we doing, Andy?
I am tremendous. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing just fine. Everybody abandoned me now, just so you know. Mego left at 11. Shimes got strep throat. Wiggy had to call the keys in last minute. We barely even got him. It's been a fire drill around here today, let me tell you. Jacob's doing a great job back there, though, so he's been holding it down. You wouldn't even know that this has been a big panicky mess this entire show. But nice to have you here, Andy. How you feeling about this game today?
Not great, and I feel like maybe your pregame show is sort of appropriate for the train wreck football team. Let's just have a train wreck pregame show to lead right into a train wreck game. I'm thinking more and more the Patriots might get, what do you like to say, mollywopped today?
Mollywopped, yeah.
Yeah, no Duggar in the back end when you're already without Peppers. You're already weak ass up the middle, soft against the run. You have Davante Adams an extra week. They're talking about their culture and trying to get it right. They need a get-right game, bounce-back game. You've already been that for them. I'm not sure Other than a beautiful day in Drake May, I'm not really sure what I like about this football game.
Yeah, it's not great. Seeing that Duggar was out, seeing that Uche is out, Uche maybe is on the trade block. We'll see if that plays into this at all, or if it's just, you know, an injury and they're keeping him out there. With no Duggar, now your two safeties are Jalen Hawkins and Marte Mapu, I guess. Is there anybody, Dale Pettis or Brendan Schooler? Can those guys get some looks on defense today, maybe? I mean,
if Schooler's out there, I think you got a problem, because we saw it all training camp. I give Jerod Mayo credit. He gave him a lot of reps in training camp. He's like, he's not just a special teamer. We'll put him on defense. Mm-hmm. If he's out there, that's sort of a... Well, who's the guy, the Celtics guy they used to have that danced around or whatever? Like, that's a sign that the game's over, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah, right. What the hell is his name? Gino.
Gino time. Yeah, Brendan Schooler is Gino time in this game, but for the wrong team.
Gino time for the Jets,
yes, of course. Yes, the gang green, not the Celtics green, not the hometown green. The middle of the field was already something the Jets picked on in the passing game the first time. If you remember, Rodgers was rolling out and throwing to the tight ends and everybody back across the middle. Breece Hall is due for a breakout game. He's averaging like 3.7 yards per carry. There's a lot of red flags in this game, and it's a team that... You know, you don't really have a reason to be like, but maybe if I talk myself into this, this will go right. I mean, I guess the receiver shakeup where you got Baker and Thornton and you've kind of changed, you're going to give guys opportunities who may or may not have earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can get some big plays in the passing game, because I'll go back to Drake May, the one sort of foundational piece of hope. And, you know, maybe he's chucking it down the field to Booty and Thornton and Baker, and you get in a shootout. The Jets have pretty good corners. I think that could lead to interceptions as much as it could lead to more, you know, recruiting video highlight plays that
yeah,
I keep talking
and
about.
Andy, this is going to be an issue today, because the Houston Texans have a good front. They don't have a great secondary. The Jaguars don't have a very good anything. This is a good secondary that the Jets have, and May hasn't faced one yet.
And a pretty good front with Quinnen Williams and those guys. Will McDonald coming after him. He's got 8 sacks. So my guess is he's going to be under some pressure because, well, he's behind the Patriots offensive line.
Right.
And that means inherently you're going to be under some pressure. Can he continue to evolve? Are we going to be watching some of those Dan Orlovsky, Chase Daniel breakdown videos where they're going ooh and ah about how he avoids the pressure and puts the ball where his receiver can make plays? Maybe. It's a lot of pressure on the rookie. It would be... And I'm not talking about win or loss here. I'm just talking about Drake May. Like, I think this game is lost. But, you know, if he can do that against this defense, that's another step forward. That's another pelt on his wall in his development here that we can all kind of rally around. But I also know he's a rookie quarterback who trusts his arm at times probably more than he should, trusts his ability probably more than he should. And when you do that against teams with as much talent as I do think the Jets have on the outside and on the front, it can also lead to problems and mistakes and turnovers, and that's how you get mollywopped. Because if you hold on to the ball, okay, they may just beat you, they may score 27, 30 points, but if you give them extra chances or you give them defensive scores, that's how you end up with a lopsided 30-something to not very much on your end.
Yeah.
So it's what we've been talking about. It's a Drake May day, one way or the other. We're either going to say, wow, Drake May continues to compete his ass off and make plays, or... Wow, Drake May had one of his rookie learning experiences today. That will be the talking point when you and I get together at 2 o'clock tomorrow,
I'm
guessing.
I would imagine that's what it's going to be the focal point of this. The Jets, by the way, this season, a big part of the reason why they haven't won a lot of games is because their defense isn't forcing a lot of turnovers. Their defense seems to have taken a big step backwards. This seems like the type of game where they're going to try and get right on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll see if Drake May lets them. With that being said now, this is a team that got called soft by the head coach. I know he couched it on Monday, but whatever. The damage was already done. He came out and said it. What do you think in terms of a response from the team, if anything, that you'll see today? Is there going to be a little bit extra edge, you know? Maybe they're finishing their hits a little bit more, you know? Is that something you anticipate today?
No, honestly, not really. I'm not sure they have the ability. I'm not sure they have the horses. You know, there's maybe a guy like Keon White is fired up, lathered up, but I also might argue, not sure that's a good thing, because I think he's one of the guys that a lot of people point to and say maybe he's playing selfishly, maybe he's freelancing and trying to do too much, so asking him to try to do even more might be counter-effective. Jabril Peppers is a guy that, in a normal situation, if he was out there, I think he'd be laying lumber. I think he'd be probably targeting heads and hitting mm-hmm. people and diving over piles. He's not out there. So I don't know who I'd point to be that guy. Devon Godshaw, well, he's a run-stuffing defensive tackle. Could they be better? Absolutely. But, you know, I don't know how easy it is for him to set a tone. He's probably going to be getting double teams inside, so he's just kind of fighting the football, good fight in there. Jonathan Jones has been hitting a little bit. That's a guy with some pride. That's a guy that talked to the team after the game last week that I think, is he going to bring everything he's got? Yeah, you know, the problem is, I think he's probably been bringing most everything he's got. I don't, you know, Mapu might be a guy who could have an elevated role this week, who is a freak athlete combo guy, right? He's got size and speed. If he wanted to be some sort of a heat-seeking missile, make-a-point kind of guy, he could absolutely be that type of player. I just, there's so many guys out there that I think are just trying to stay afloat. You know, I don't even know that they're capable of lifting their game to the next level to prove their coach wrong or show just how tough they are, and that's just the reality of this team right now.
Yeah, I think it's something that bleeds over into the wide receiver conversation too. These are all guys that are demanding the ball more. They've all made a big stink about it. Most of them did that this week, demanding trades and other some such. Do you think any of them have a breakout game today? Do you think any of them could maybe back up their words a little bit?
Yes, I do, because I think, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic with the Drake May stuff, say they're and pessimistic at the same time. They're right. Probably going to be chasing, right? Like, so they're going to be throwing the ball because you're going to chase on the scoreboard. Drake May will make some plays, and if he's making some plays, that means somebody's catching the ball for him and making some plays. Which one I'd like to target? I mean, Pop Douglas is the obvious option if he can stay healthy, right? If he's not having the issues he had last week. I think he's going to catch a bunch of balls for a bunch of yards, probably in the middle of this field. Hunter Henry, I may or may not have sprinkled a little something on an anytime touchdown for Hunter Henry because okay. I believe National Tight Ends Week or Day or something. And I was why not?
It's Tight Ends Day.
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah.
So go with the fun. Go with the theme of the day. Plus, I think he's kind of the trusted guy. I think it was Van Pelt that brought that up when someone was asking about kind of go-to number one options. He's like, well, I feel like regardless of the quarterback for this team, Hunter Henry has been the go-to option. And I think that will continue to work. But in terms of the other guys, if you're looking for Booty's bitching, does he get targeted more? Well, maybe. That's how they've done it this year. They've kind of gotten those. So Booty might be a guy you could look at.
That's the thing. It's worked. They come out and complain right. And it works. They get more They get more looks.
So using that sort of trend, Booty should be an option. But Tyquan Thornton kind of bitched a couple weeks ago on social media, too. So now you got multiple guys I got to try to get the ball to. Javon Baker, Lord only knows what he is, but I will say he worked with May a decent amount. They did a lot of extra reps at times over the summer because they're both rookies. So maybe they have a little thing where they get the rookie connection going. But yes, I'm optimistic that somebody will have a game catching the ball that will be talking out positively. I'm just not sure who I'd pick.
Yeah, I think you're probably right there. I would imagine that, you know, someone like KJ Osborne or anybody else. Like, I think that any one of these guys is capable of making a big play or catching a pass in one-on-one coverage and coming down with it or whatever. It's just it's a question of can they contribute enough and get the ball enough that number one keeps them happy and number two keeps the flow for the offense.
So let me flip the question on you, and in a different way. Who would you be rooting for to have that day? Because most of this wide receiver group right now is not very likable, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd say maybe someone like Kendrick Bourne, veteran who's no one's talking about, by the way. He had a lot to say this week about the maturity in that room. I think he's someone that, you know, you talk about leading by example, and all right, here's a guy who's been, he wasn't drafted, he worked his way out, he did all these things, and there's some, you know, fifth round picks in that wide receiver room, along with Thornton and Polk, who's inactive today, and, you know, Baker is a fourth round pick, so that's someone I think if he started getting the ball and being productive, that could lead by example and maybe set a good example for some of these guys. But that's about it. I agree with you. I don't think there's a lot to like about these guys.
I'd root for Kendrick Bourne to do it, and I also wondered, I meant to bring this up to you the other day, because it's Kendrick Bourne, and we found out that the KJ and KJ Osborne also stood for Kendrick,
right?
So it's Kendrick Osborne. Is there any chance that Alex Van Pelt effed up when he said the guy that they should all look up to is KJ Osborne, and he really meant to say Kendrick Bourne, and just and you can't retract it, right? Like, you can't you can't put out a statement and be like, I meant to say Kendrick Bourne, because now you're crapping all over KJ Osborne. I wondered that later. Did he misspeak and say the wrong veteran receiver? Because I wouldn't have had a problem with it if he had said Kendrick Bourne is the guy they should look up to. I did have a problem with it, KJ Osborne. I'm not rooting for him. The way he's handled himself, he can pound sand. I'm not rooting for him to catch
it. But no, Andy, I don't know if you know this, but all these wide receivers were taken out of context, and people just go in there with an agenda, and
that's
they make
true.
Up quotes, and it's not really what any of them said. So I don't
that's
know. I'm surprised you didn't know that.
The real matchup I was looking for today was Giardi versus Lazar in the press box to see if they bumped into each other at the buffet line and if there were any fireworks. I know who I'd be rooting for, but I don't know. And I know who my money's on. I'm not sure Giardi can go after Lazar. That feels like that would be bullying.
Yeah, I don't know. They're both kind of little guys, right? You know, like neither one
well,
of
yeah.
them are particularly big hulking presences. You know, Andrew Callahan here, no one's messing with him. You know what I mean? Like no one's going to step to a big stud like Chris Mason. Like that's a totally different thing. But either way, yeah, I think it is going to be an interesting day up there in the press box, considering all the infighting that's going on right now and all this other stuff. It is pretty funny how the team falling apart has coincided with this very kind of angry, combative, circle the wagons mentality with these different media outlets, starting with Patriots Unfiltered and you know, sort of the state media down there. Do you think that's a coincidence?
I do think it's a coincidence. I don't think it's anything that, you know, was orchestrated from above.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's more Lazar, maybe kind of CYA after his issues earlier in the year and Bissett
right.
calling him out and all that. But it's weird times. And that means on the football team, you have all the receivers and various guys pointing fingers, the defensive front guys. And then you get into the media, and I guess people start nitpicking how other people are being professional or unprofessional or doing their jobs. And that's where I guess Gerard Mayo is right. A win would fix a lot of things. I don't personally think it would fix everything or even most everything. I think it would just be sort of dismissed. In a way, aren't both these teams going to get a dismissive win today? Like the Jets, if they win, so you have three wins, two against the Patriots, one
yeah.
against the Titans. I mean, woo! You're going to get excited about that. And if the Patriots win, the Jets are a mess. You know, they fired their coach. They traded. They desperate. They bring in Hassan Reddick. I mean, I know you'll be happy because you just need to get a win somehow, some way. But I feel like this is going to be almost a meaningless win for whoever wins today at Gillette.
Yeah, you might be right about that. I'd say in terms of who needs it more, I'd say the Patriots do since they've lost six in a row. But the Jets, they're a team that's still being taken seriously by some people out there,
yep.
and a team that I think a lot of people look at as, you know, a couple of win streak away from being right back in contention. No one thinks that about the Patriots. It's just for them. It's become such a sad state of affairs, especially at Gillette. They can't win a single thing there ever. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think for Drake May, it'd be nice to see him walk off the field with the victory. I'm sure that would feel good for the kid. But, yeah, really, I mean, in terms of who it really matters for, the Jets are a team that's still – that's still being taken seriously in national circles. Patriots definitely are not.
Absolutely.
And that's about it. All right, there we go. Do we have a prediction, a score prediction today, Andy?
Yeah, I'm gonna tweak it again. Six rings pod, I went 27-17 Jets. In light of everything, Hassan Reddick coming back, Kyle Duggar not playing, the wide receiver is going to be force-fed the ball. I'm going to say 35-13 Jets.
35-13
Yep. Yep.
Jets. That's that would cover
Ouch,
the seven,
babe.
I would say.
Ouch,
there
babe.
You go. All right. Andy Hart, you can catch him on the Six Rings post-game show right after the game today here on WEEI. And also you can hear him at 2 o'clock on Monday with me and a Patriots Monday down at Gillette and all week long every day at 2 o'clock in WEEI afternoons. Thanks, Andy.
See you, fella.
All right. That is Andy Hart joining me here on WEEI Football Sunday. Quick break. We'll come back, get to your phones, and we'll close things up with Pop, Lock, and Drop. All right, we got a couple of minutes left here. It's WEEI Football Sunday. Patriots and the Jets getting ready to kick off here in about 10 minutes first. Let's go to your phones. Ben is in the car. What's up, Ben?
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Ben.
Yeah, just I want to talk about them starting players, but I just want to comment on something you guys were just talking about, the him naming KJ Osborne as the guy. I think part of the reason he said that, I think, is because Osborne had come out and talked about wanting to leave the team.
Right.
And I think he's trying to throw him a bone and say, hey, we do want you as part of the offense or something of that nature. I don't know that he really sees him as a leader. Certainly Kendrick Bourne is more of that. But the other piece originally why I was calling is just like up to now, and I'm glad finally they're putting Baker out there, but I just don't understand this piece of not starting all the rookies. Like, just get him out there. Like, at this point in time, this is such a dumpster fire. Like, you might as well get Drake time to gel with these guys, see what you've got out there, understand what you're going to need next year for the roster. If it works, good, we'll win some games. If not, tank for first place. But at this point, we've got nothing to lose. Just get them all out there, man.
Yeah.
But I just, like, not putting Jaheim Bell and keeping Austin Hooper on the field is crazy to me. I mean, he's slow, he's plotting, he misses blocks. Like, get something dynamic out there. You know, that's my piece. But, yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, Ben. Maybe we'll see Jaheim Bell out there. I don't know. You know, it'd be fine to see that, I guess. I feel like the tight end play has been the least of your concerns. And as far as the wide receivers go, I think you need to draw a line in the sand somewhere. And they tried to do that with Baker, but now they need him. So here he is. Danny's in the car. Go ahead, Danny.
Hey, guys. So while I want to enjoy the season, I am looking forward to hopefully the first pick in the draft. And mm-hmm. Do you think they would potentially take that left tackle? I think it's Will Baker out of LSU.
Will Campbell, I think, is his name out of LSU. And, yeah, I'll say this. The two main tackles now, people are talking about them maybe being guards in the NFL. So, I don't know. I mean, there's still plenty of time left in the college football season to see who's going to emerge and how that's all going to go. But, yeah, I'd imagine that if they were to do the draft today, they'd be looking at a very high-end tackle. It's someone to try and fix that offensive line. But you know what? They need help a lot of other places, too. All right, without any further ado, let's get the pop, lock, and drop. All right, Shime's not here, so I'll go ahead and start with mine. My lock today is the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos. It is a big line against the Carolina Panthers, 11.5 some places. Depends on where you like to wet your beak, but I don't think the line can be big enough against these Carolina Panthers. I don't think the Broncos are great. I think Bo Nix is fine, but they'll go out there. They'll force that team to turn the ball over. Bryce Young's playing for Carolina, so go ahead and lock up Denver, and whatever it is, tease it up. Tease it up to 15 if you want. I think this is going to be a 3-score victory. My drop is the Atlanta-Tampa Bay game. Tampa Bay is missing both of their wide receivers. It's only a 2-point spread despite that, and that's got me really looking at it sideways. If I had a gun to my head, I might take Tampa here just because I don't believe in Atlanta, but with all those injuries, it's one that I'm probably going to stay away from. And who's my pop? I'll tell you who it is. It's J.K. Dobbins. Chargers going up against the Saints. The Saints' run defense has completely disappeared. You think the Patriots is bad? How about this? The last three running backs that the Saints have faced, Sean Tucker, Tampa Bay, 14 carries, 136 yards and a touchdown. Kareem Hunt and the Chiefs, 102 yards and a touchdown. And Javonte Williams of the Broncos, 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. I expect J.K. Dobbins to go off today against that weak Saints run defense. So there you go. There's my pop, lock, and drop. And since Mego isn't here, you want to read hers there, Jacob?
Yeah, sure. So her pop is Brian Robinson Jr. with 70-plus rushing yards. Her lock is, unfortunately, the Jets -7. Definitely win and cover, she says. I mean, it's a lock. But anyway, and her drop was the same as yours, Falcons Bucks.
Okay, well, there you go. Great minds think alike, and also mine and Mego's do, too. So there you go. That is a pop, lock, and drop here for the week. We didn't get one from Shime. That's all right. He's dealing with strep throat, so hopefully he'll be back with us next week. And that is all the time I have here today. Stick around as we'll have the Six Rings post-game show and halftime show right here with Fitzy and Andy Hart. And you're not going to want to miss any of that insight. It's appointment listening for me. As soon as this game ends, I'm right over there. I'm listening to that Six Rings post-game show, and those guys have been doing a great job all season long trying to sift through this mess of a season with your New England Patriots. Taking on the Jets, kickoff coming your way here in about 10 minutes. I'm Christian Arkin. You'll hear me at 2 o'clock on Monday over at Gillette on a Patriots Monday right here on WEEI. Enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everybody. Bye.